What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is June 12th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Louis Varland returned for the Twins just for one game as he got Rocky Road in and came through. It was five innings of zero runs, one hit, one walk in, three strikeouts, 63 pitches. They pulled him early. It's all good. Do we like Louis Varland now? If you remember in the preseason, I was kind of a fan of Louis Varland, and he's not commanding still. It's the four-seamer that gets me excited, 1.4 VAA. It's a good extension, good velocity, and he just doesn't locate the thing upstairs. And it's pretty annoying. He did have a few good cutters in here. He did have some nice curves too, but without that foundation of the four-seamer overwhelming, essentially turning him into a better version of Bailey Ober, yeah, I'm not in. So I'm not that interested in Louis Varland. I hope that we get to see that development over the year, but he's going to be back in the minors now, so you don't really need to go after Louis Varland as the Twins just need an extra day of rest, and they are going to be sending him back down. Okay. Miles Michaelis went seven innings of zero run ball, one hit, one walk, and six Ks. And I'll be honest with you, this was one of the better games I've seen from Miles Michaelis as he actually separated his pitches effectively. Four seamers and sinkers out of the zone and nibbling, then allowing his slider to really dominate inside of the zone. That's what we're going for. So hopefully that is what Michaelis does consistently. It's not really what I've seen most of the year, but it seems pretty cool. I wouldn't try this against the Cubs. He got the results against the Pirates. I would be cautious moving forward. Paul Skenes, ace is going to ace against the Cardinals. Cool to see 14 out of 20 curveball strikes. Yeah, curveball showing up, because remember, he has a splitter, which is a slinker, and a slider on top, of course, the overwhelming fastball. So yeah, pretty dope. We have Jameson Taillon going against the Rays, six innings of zero runs, four hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. Really nice to see that quality start, of course. He just really threw a lot of pitches inside the zone, and I'm glad that that worked out for him. It hasn't always, and I would be a little cautious here on Sunday against the Cardinals, but that is a desperate Sunday. If you're looking for a quality start, he obviously has the ability to go 91 pitches, as he did here. Cal Quantrill continued to impress. That is, he returned to his Vargas Rule state, going six innings of zero runs, three hits, one walk, and five strikeouts. His splitter was back to normal with a 66% strike rate. You love to see that. Sinker, curve, and cutter also got nine whiffs between them across 59 pitches. And he had 31 splitters in this game. Actually, 41, I should say. Yeah, this is lovely for Cal Quantrill. Unfortunately, he gets the Dodgers next, so you can kind of move on for now for Cal Quantrill. However, this is pretty cool to see the splitter isn't gone. It wasn't just something that happened for a little bit and disappears. No, we should expect it, at the very least, for Cal Quantrill to be like a cherry bomb moving forward. Marcus Stroman against the Royals, 5.2 innings of zero runs, four hits, three walks, and just one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Yes, he did give you a Philly, so you're one out short of a quality start, but you got the win. You got a zero on the run total. Like, don't get spoiled, okay? You got your win. You got your ERA. That's why you're here for Stroman. Cool. Albert Suarez did well against against Atlanta. He gets a gold star for it because he went 5.1 innings and zero runs. Seven base runners with three walks and four Ks. Now, I do want to note that Albert Suarez is normally not really that kind of guy that I would go for against Atlanta and really would want to trust, because the four-seamer, yeah, it can get whiffs, but generally the secondary stuff isn't there. However, he went 9 out of 49 whiffs, not on the heater, but on cutters plus changeups. And you're saying, Nick, that's not really like the greatest. It's just 18% swing strike rate. Yes, but that's in addition to the four-seamer. And the four-seamer is traditionally the pitch that actually gets those whiffs. So if the cutter and changeup are working that well, which it did here, there is promise. However, Albert Suarez would get the Yankees and then the Astros and the Rangers, and then that's not fun at all. So I wouldn't really turn toward Albert Suarez. Sure, you could say this is the first of a four-game gauntlet, but really, I mean, talking to Paul Spohr on the Fireside Chat yesterday, he really made a note saying, look, since May 1st, Atlanta's been really bad against both righties and lefties outside the top 20 offenses. And maybe I should really be considering Atlanta just as a middling offense that you can actually start against without really thinking twice about it. Yusei Kikuchi against the Brewers. Let me tell you guys. Oh, my. You got the win. Five innings, zero runs, three hits, four walks, five Ks. A lot of these guys are getting like seven base runners and mediocre strikeouts, but 15 whiffs and 35% CSW across 97 pitches. Kikuchi's four-seamer was everything I've always dreamed it could be. Upper third in the zone with a 1.8 height-adjusted VAA with elite extension, with 96 to 97 mile per hour velocity, not like 94, not 95, 96 to 97. So he had 12 over 63 whiffs on that four-seamer as he just dominated the upper third. The problem? Everything else was ugh. Changeup and slider went 13% CSW between them. Three whiffs total across everything else outside of the fastball. Curveball went 7 for 18, called strikes, but he was wrestling that pitch throughout the entire night. And really, that slider, which I got really excited about returning against the Orioles, yeah, wasn't really there. And the changeup wasn't very good. So I love the fact that Kikuchi is establishing a better four-seamer foundation, but man, I want the old skill to return to that slider, and it's still something that he's figuring out. We're going to go after him against the Red Sox. This is, I think, encouraging because the four-seamer has really woken up, but I really hope he can get that slider back. Mitchell Parker was my streaming pick of the day, and it would have come through except for 4.2 innings and not five, zero runs. Now, he allowed four unearned runs, and that's what really knocked him out of this game, 81 pitches here in 4.2 innings. Seven base runners, one strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Obviously not a win against Detroit. Zero for 67 whiffs on heaters and curves. Zero! Man, I don't even think he located them poorly. I think he actually had some amazing four-seamer precision right at the top of the zone. I don't understand how it went 0 for 46 on whiffs. I think this should have been just a better game overall. And we really didn't see, of course, the splitter and the slider doing much. But yeah, it should be better moving forward, I think, for Mitchell Parker. Nick Martinez was opened for. He went 1.2 innings where he allowed a trio of runs and was just gone after 39 pitches. I don't know why. It's just what it is. And we move on. Zach Wheeler. I know I can just say ace is going to ace and move on, but Zach Wheeler, I shouted as I did this last night. He has a normal 1.4 of height-adjusted VAA. I'm trying to teach everybody what this means. A 1.0 is average. 1.4 is above average, like good flat, okay? When you get above 1.4 and start going, then you start getting to elite territory. And Zach Wheeler, across the season, has been like 1.3, 1.4, 1.5, not necessarily in that order, just like fluctuating between that. The flatness of Wheeler's four-seamer, which again helps him so much when he performs at the top of the zone, was a 1.9 last night. 1.9! If you're wondering how do I get that data so quickly, of course it's a PL Pro tool for today's fastballs. We have that so you can monitor it live. Oh my gosh! That is absurd. And it would be 99th percentile if that held throughout the year. Like, it's just Joe Ryan, I think. Really, it may be Brian Wu when he's not getting an MRI, and that's annoying. So, that's insane. And he didn't actually get many whiffs because he didn't locate the thing upstairs. He actually had worse command yesterday than we normally see in that four-seamer. But my gosh. It probably won't stick, but how did that happen? I don't know. Ronel Blanco against the Giants got the win. Six innings, one earned run, three hits, one walk, and eight Ks. He got a golden goal. 17 whiffs in, 39% CSW. The thing is, the changeup actually wasn't that good. It was sliders and four-seamers. And the four-seamer, really, this is the best command four-seamer I've seen from him. Where he did go upstairs and elevate when he wanted to, but he also was down in glove side, pinpointing that and setting up that slider so beautifully. And he really did not miss in between. Like, he had a good, firm slice in between for the strike zone. It was lovely. And this is how he's supposed to be. This was against the Giants. Did everything that you want. And also didn't have the changeup. Like, I mean, when you say he did everything you want, I mean, as far as the results go, the changeup actually, yeah, I want that to be better, but hot dang, this was a fun one from Noah Blanco. And lastly, we have James Paxton against the Rangers. Got the win, six innings, one earned run, two hits, two walks, and two Ks. I'm glad that that worked out with a 92.6 mile per hour fastball. We are not going after this whatsoever moving forward. We have other guys to talk about. Of course, we have Drew Thorpe's MLB debut, Randy Vasquez, and many others. We're going to talk about all of that after this break. Drew Thorpe against the Mariners, five innings, one earned run, three hits, two walks, four Ks. I, of course, watched his MLB debut. And yeah, the changeup is legit. 39% usage, 18% swing strike rate, 71% strikes. It's really good, but that's it. Like, that's the only thing that I liked about Drew Thorpe here. And considering he's on the wind-deprived White Sox, I'm not really a fan. He could be a quality start guy. He still has the shag rug, of course, especially if the changeup is not there in a given day. I guess he's a Toby at best. Maybe you want to go after it against the Arizona Diamondbacks. I just don't really think there's enough of a ceiling to chase here with Drew Thorpe, and I would move on here because just the other stuff's just not that good. Randy Vasquez against the Athletics, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 7 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks. Yeah, I don't really like what Randy Vasquez brings to the table. Just 0 out of 29 whiffs on his changeup, cutter, and sweeper all combined. His curveball went 12 for 25 strikes. It's all just like, blah. It's just not really what I want to go for with Randy Vasquez. Kenta Maeda, 4 innings of 1 earned run. You don't want to go after Kenta Maeda either. 77 pitches, 4 walks, blah, blah, blah. Cutter Crawford against the Phillies. He did allow 200 runs, but in the end, it was 6 innings of 200 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. You'll love to see that. The splitter actually woke up for 4 over 10 whiffs, which is great. And the 3 major pitches did their part, as they normally do, through 6 frames. He gets the Yankees next. I'm still sitting for that one, even though he did well against the Phillies. But yeah, you should feel good about Cutter Crawford moving forward after that start. You have Jesus Luzardo against the Mets. He got the win for 5.2 innings, 200 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. Just 4 strikeouts with 16 whiffs. The 4-seamer was constantly in the middle of the zone. And the thing about Luzardo is that when he's really cooking, when he's going to have that 8-strikeout, 1-walk game, it's when the 4-seamer's around the edge and the slider and the changeup are doing their work. Now, those two pitches were doing their work as far as whiffs go. I believe they got 14 in this combined. But there were a lot of hittable sliders that just made me a little nervous too. I think Luzardo is just still that cherry bomb, and that's just that. Even against the Nationals next time out, he's just always going to be the cherry bomb. Remember, it was the Rays that messed them up for 900 runs. Zach Eflin's turning into a Toby with a 5.2 inning performance of 200 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks against the Cubs. It's not necessarily bad. It's just, it's not ace material. Tristan McKenzie against the Reds. He's hanging on for dear life. 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. 90.3 mile per hour, 4-seamers. He did locate the curveball well, but it was just 1 out of 16 whiffs. It's just, oh man. I guess the Mariners next. Maybe that's fine. Do what you want here. I just can't deal with the anxiety. Tyler McGill against the Marlins, 4.2 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, 8 strikeouts, got a kosher of the gallows pole with 17 whiffs and 32% CSW. But right, 4.2 innings, what's going on? The cutter was good. The cutter got 8 of these whiffs, and he can't command his 4-seamer. He has elite extension. He has good velocity. It's not even a steep attack angle anymore because of that extension, right? Extension makes you flatter as you go out. You just are landing further down the mound, which is closer to the bottom. Closer to the floor. You're not elevated as much on release. Closer to the ground at the plate level. It's okay. I don't know if I really like Tyler McGill because the Padres are up next and you just can't locate that 4-seamer still. And it's really, really annoying. At least the cutter is coming through though. Carlos Rodriguez against the Jays, 3.2 innings, 2 earned runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 4 strikeouts. MLB debut, he had really good 4-seamer location. Actually, our location plus metric had his 4-seamer at like absurd levels above everyone else. It was kind of nuts right at the top of the zone. But yeah, no, everything else is not very good and that fastball itself wasn't that good, so I don't think there's enough here for Carlos Rodriguez. Jordan Montgomery, you got a date with the Angels. I'm glad you got a win. 5.2 innings of 300 runs and 7 base runners and 3 Ks. It's just like, okay, man, you're going to go against the White Sox. Like, you should be fine, right? He's a streamer. So I guess you're fine with that one, whatever. Jonathan Diaz made the start instead of Brian Wu because Brian Wu, as I mentioned before, is getting an MRI on his arm. I mean, shocking, I know. it's too bad. Diaz doesn't really have much of intrigue, and we can just move on here. I'm sorry about Brian Wu, but we kind of knew that was inevitable, right? JP Sears against the Padres. This is frustrating. It's 5 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 3 walks, and just 1 strike. And how am I supposed to butter my bread with this? Sears had such a good outing before locating all of his pitches. It was so good, and this one was not. And yeah, it was a pipe dream. It's like one of those times of like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe sometimes you'll be able to do that. Great. Thanks so much, Sears. Jordan Hicks against the Astros, 4.2 innings of 300 runs, 5 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Honestly, he didn't have a bad sweeper or splitter, but he had the flu. That's literally the issue. He had the flu against the Astros, and he did as well as he could. So he gets the Cubs next, and you should be fine there. Max Fried, unfortunately, allowed 400 runs in 5 innings because he allowed a 3-run shot on a curveball. Ugh. He never allows home runs on curveballs. What is this? Oh, man. You move on from Max Fried. Like, you're going to keep starting him. Obviously, what are you going to do? It's a one-night bland. Jose Suarez made a start for the Angels, but Chase Silsa should take that spot moving forward. So we don't really care about that. Do we care about Chase Silsa? I looked up his AAA start from yesterday. Not very impressive. If you remember Chase Silseth, how he dominated was sliders and splitters last year. Two separate starts where they both did good things. I don't think this fastball's that good. We'll see how that looks. I would make it a wait and see. You do not need to stash Chase Silseth now unless you're in a deeper league. And Brady Singer and Dane Dunning both had terrible matchups. Singer against the Yankees and Dunning against the Dodgers. They didn't do well. Of course they didn't because they had those terrible matchups. Looking forward to tomorrow's games. Luis Castillo, Joe Ryan, Garrett Crochet, Mackenzie Gore, Aaron Nola, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, all auto starts as aces, save for Mackenzie Gore, but he gets the Tigers, so okay. Justin Steele against the Rays and Tanner Houck against the Phillies. I'm so excited for that Houck one because it is the judgment day for Houck. Can you get your aces against ace tag? I hope you can. Probable start to your Mitch Keller against the Cardinals. That's the Cortez against the Royals. Brandon Font against the Angels. Keller's on such a good run. Cortez, I think you just still continue to do it. Font gets the Angels. He's looking a little bit better with his fastballs. Hopefully that sticks. Taj Bradley against the Cubs. I think if you have Taj Bradley, I know the floor is terrible, but you're probably going to chase it for the strikeouts there. Renato Lopez against Baltimore. He's been so good. I think you're going to do it, even though it is Baltimore. And at least he's a righty and he gets Baltimore, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, hopefully that works out for Reynaldo. And Luis Severino gets the Marlins. You guys know I don't like Sevy generally, but it's against the Marlins and he should be fine for like six innings. You have questionable starts of Griffin Canning, our stream pick of the day, against the Diamondbacks. I think he's fine. Hopefully strike out an inning. Just don't be so hittable, please, with your heaters and your slider. You have Cole Irvin against Atlanta. Atlanta's not as good as an offense as it used to be, so maybe that does work out for a win. Luis Medina is an absolute cherry bomb against the Twins. Is he going to have his command? Is he not? And Rodri Munoz actually is kind of sneaky. I think there is some promise here for at least five innings against the Mets, but the floor is pretty bad. It really just comes down to locating his fastballs effectively, which I have seen him do in a start before. And the do not start tier is pretty clear. I think you don't want to go after Lance Lynn, even though it's the Pirates. Casey Mize just has been unproductive as he gets the Nationals. And Lorenzen gets the Dodgers with Alec Marsh getting the Yankees. That is it for today. I do want to note there will not be a Plus Pitch podcast on Friday. I'm going to be away, and that also means the SP Fab forecast for those with PL Pro will be coming out on Sunday, not on Friday. So just keep that in mind. But that is it for today. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.